Yeah, ready. Welcome, everybody. Before we get started, we're going to take care of some business. Business as follows. Facebook, Twitter handle.
That comes Natural Pod.
And iTunes. Like, subscribe, share, comment, do all those things, all of that stuff. And I promise for the, I promised last week the whole Facebook Messenger thing. It's actually not working yet, so the instructions are coming soon. So just keep an eye on the Facebook page for that. But that's it for that business. I streamlined it this week, so you're welcome. But we'll start the show properly this time. Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Cody. Ah, Mike's long-winded. Just kidding, Mike's not here. It's just the two of us. And welcome back, Joe.
Thank you.
From being half dead last week.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you were.
Never get that cold. Whatever that was.
Yep. Don't get it. Don't ever get the HIV-like symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. It's not good. Es no bueno, as they say somewhere. Yeah. So, do you want to do the planned thing that Mike and I were going to do, which is ruin Covenant for everybody?
That's what I figured we'd do.
Alrighty.
Go for it.
First off, almost everyone dies. So get that out of the way.
Pretty sure I can predict that by the beginning of the next movie, everybody's going to be dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad things are going to happen. So don't trust anyone named David.
No.
They're untrustworthy.
Well, let's put it like this. Half the androids we've seen in the Alien franchise have been bad. So let's just not trust them.
Yeah, AI bad.
Yeah.
And if you have AI, limit that AI and make sure that AI can't change those limits.
Yeah.
That's what Ridley Scott is really trying to teach us, that and aliens are bad.
He's also teaching us that even the good androids die.
Yes. Yeah, if you're good, you will die.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, don't trust androids. B, limit what androids can do. So limit what AI can do. And C,
don't be a good android.
Yeah, if you're an android, don't be good because you will die.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be bad because you're a dick.
Yeah.
So there you go. Boom, there's your PSA for that. So for those who haven't seen it, we are going to spoil stuff. So if you don't want it spoiled for you, turn this off. And if you don't care about spoilers, go ahead and listen in because we're going to talk some shit about what's going on here. First off, we'll go with impressions or thoughts, as you will. Joseph, what were your thoughts / impressions of Alien Covenant?
I thoroughly loved this movie. It had a weird melding of what would be Aliens.
And, which is Alien 2.
Yeah, and Prometheus, you know, where you had, like, you still had all the engineers, and you had that more, I guess I would say, cleaner look to all the ships and everything, and more high-tech look to it. But you still had, like, the fucking weaponry and the ability to actually semi-fight back.
Yep.
That you had in the Alien Aliens movie. I don't know, beyond that, I mean, it was freaking gorgeous. I mean, Ridley Scott really knows how to shoot scenery, and it's just fucking gorgeous. This was done in 3D, right? We didn't watch it in 3D.
This was done in 3D, and I have not seen it in 3D. I've seen it twice.
There's not a whole lot. I mean, I know, like, the wide out shots would be really nice in 3D, and there's definitely within I guess you'd call it the little city right there, would have been phenomenal in 3D. But
with
there's
the depth,
nothing,
yeah, for sure.
There's not really anything as far as the alien that I can think of that would have been good in 3D.
No, because most of the shots of the alien were quick.
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
Which is just a way to do that.
Which is, I mean, yeah, they're quick creatures. You don't want to put them on the
screen for too long.
Because
there was a few longer shots, like him crouched prone, I guess you could say, with all fours. But I say him.
But it's the one that we see from the trailer. Is you're talking about
the one where the drool. Like, that's, like, the longest shot I can think of. Other than the close-up shot of the Neomorph talking, I guess, to David. We'll get to that. But
yeah,
that was a pretty long shot of it. There was a couple scenes. When I say long shots, I'm not saying, like, oh, it was 2 minutes. It's, like, a good 15, 20 seconds. Long enough for you to see shit on it, which A, will creep you out, and B, make you not want to be in that world.
Yeah.
I said, it's funny, I'll say this. So people at work were asking me, oh, what'd you think of it? I was like, well, I thought it was amazing. But I'll tell you this, like, what I was like, if anyone ever discovers a God particle like this, I'm going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Like, that, done. Just...
That's another good thing about the movie is that it does explain a lot from Prometheus, where Prometheus kind of just introduced you to the engineers. And it asked more questions than it answered, but that's kind of how it was set up. And I know that's a problem that a lot of people had with the first movie, whereas this one, you end up answering a lot of questions. You're still left with a few that we'll get into once we get into the movie. But at least it tells the origin story of the Xenomorph as we know it.
Yep.
And it explains a bit more about what the goo is,
yep,
where it comes from, what it was for,
and how whatnot. It works.
Yeah, and how it works. Yeah. So that's my impression.
Yeah, all right.
What's yours?
I liked it a lot. I mean, I saw it twice, and if our Dolby Cinema was getting those pins, I would definitely go see it a third time. Mainly because Dolby Cinema is dope, and those pins look rad as fuck. But my overall impression is I think it actually helps Covenant be a more solid movie, and I'll explain what I mean by that. I love Prometheus.
Yeah.
Sorry, I made Prometheus more of a solid movie. I love Prometheus. I was one of the 19 people who actually thought it was a good movie. But the one thing though that like that movie had, this one doesn't have, is that I think the overall terror that you feel. So in Prometheus, there's the grossness of the snake worm thing that like breaks the dude's arm and goes in his mouth. It's creepy and gross. But there's none of those moments where like it's like a scary type feeling.
There's nothing that oh shit, this thing's in the ship and yeah, it's hunting us and we don't know where it is.
Yeah,
type of thing. Yeah.
That's the one thing I think Prometheus was missing.
Mm-hmm.
But Prometheus is more about the crew than anything else.
Yes.
Too. Like that was more of them being the explorers and the building up to the, you know, who are the space jockey / engineers, whatever you want to call them. The super pale, kind of see-through-ish people. Where this one was taking what you learned, you know, hey, they were doing experiments and this isn't their home world, and then bring you, spoiler, to their home world, which we think, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
It could be just a colony.
Yeah.
It gave you a feeling that was very home-like in it, and I'll explain what I mean by that when we go in more detail, too. But I think that what really played off is the fact that you got to see when Elizabeth Shaw and David took off. David's, because there's two of them at the point, because these parts. They leave in the ship. You get to see what happens and where they go,
mm-hmm,
which a lot of people thought we weren't gonna see, just because Elizabeth Shaw wasn't listed as a cast member in this, and for reasons why, she has no speaking roles other than a recorded message,
mm-hmm,
but she has no real like interaction with anybody, but like so basically, this takes place 10 years after the events of Prometheus, so if you remember correctly, it was 2094 in Prometheus. This is 2104. So for those math scholars out there, that's 10 years. So basically what happens is, you find out that there's a colony ship, which obviously left near or same time or even before, I'm guessing after Prometheus did, which was an exploration ship, more than a colony ship. So this colony ship, which was a marvelous engineeredly looking ship.
Oh, it was fantastic looking.
And obviously very spacey in a way. But they this ship was out with 2,000 colonists, a crew of 15, which do not include in that 2,000, and then an odd number of embryos, which I thought was really weird.
Yeah.
It's like 11,000, like 45 or something. I was like,
yeah, a little odd.
You just couldn't round that off to 1150 at least. But yeah, so they have on this, and the whole thing is they have these 15 people, which is 14 people and David, or and Walter, another synthetic, who are on board this ship, who are basically on their way to many years down the line. Of course, we don't know when they left. We just know, assume we know they left after Prometheus,
mm-hmm.
The way they talked about how the Prometheus disappeared. So we don't know how long they've been in this, in the ship and traveling, but we do know they have 7 years and 6 months, or 4 months, like that, before they reach the planet they are actually destined for. And the events of this movie are this: they are on that ship during one of the solar charges, which is where the ship doesn't slow down; it stays its course, but puts out these solar arrays, which are basically giant reflective sheets, to gather solar energy to power the ship, because obviously the ship has a finite amount of power and has a shit ton of stuff it's powering.
Yeah.
You know, 2,000 colonists, 15 crewmen. Well, yeah, David needs charging too, or Walter needs charging too.
Yeah.
But keeping those pods, the cryos pods, a lot powered up, and then obviously keeping the embryos alive, plus all the ship systems, which has its own AI called Mother, which is A, I don't know what it stands for. I'd have to get the art book, I'm guessing, to figure out, but it is spelled different. It's M-U-T-H. M-U-T-H-E-R, I believe is what it is. But it's the artificial intelligence that runs the ship. Why they call it Mother, again, I don't know what the acronym stands for, but I'm going to guess it has just to find a way to call it Mother.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's keeping all of them alive. So, you know, like a mother would. They get hit by a solar flare, essentially. They call it something else, but it's essentially a solar flare.
They call it a neutrino burst.
Neutrino burst, yeah. Which then caused the ship to have a little bit of damage internally, as well as one of the foils gets damaged. So they have to stop for 48 hours and fix it. Right as they fix it, Danny McBride's character, Tennessee, is headed back inside the ship. He gets a signal that interferes in his comm systems, and it ends up being a distress beacon, in a way. Very common in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's they after he gets back aboard, they're kind of reviewing it, and Tennessee notices that it's a song being sung, and it's a song he knows from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Take Me Home Country Road by Charlie Daniels, just in case you didn't know. And they realize it's a human voice singing it, not Charlie Daniels. And so they track it back to a planet that, lo and behold, they somehow did not see with the other deep space scans that they've done to identify habitable planets, possibly habitable planets. And this one's actually better than the one they're going to, way beyond tolerances that they ever were going to do, because on the other one, they would have to do a lot of terraforming to make it habitable for the 2,000-plus colonists they have aboard. So these 15, well, 14 and synthetic people would have to terraform quite a bit and live in structurally made pods before the terraforming's done. And once that's done, then they could bring the colonists out to help them more. I'm sure they would do it in stages. It wouldn't just like 2,000 people. Yeah. because of, you know, food right. and stuff like that.
All right, everybody help out.
Yep. Just come on, hurry up.
Even little fetuses. Get yep. going.
Get moving, fetuses. Pull your weight. So they would colonize this planet, the other planet they're going to, which is called something six, some starts with an O.
Or Origa 6?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Close enough. Origai 6. That's Origai, what it was. Because it made me think of Oregon and log cabins, which we'll get to in a minute. So they decide, hey, when this happens, they come out of their cryos. And unfortunately, their captain gets trapped in his pod because it gets damaged and gets burnt alive.
Dude, worst way to go possible.
So terrible. The captain, played by James Franco, for a very short amount of time, he dies. They have to then Billy Crudup, who's the second in command, takes over. They decide reluctantly to go after this signal because A, this planet is better than Origai 6. It's closer than Origai 6, which means they don't have to go back in their yeah, pods, which no one wants
like
to do.
A week away.
4 weeks away.
Was it 4 weeks away?
Something like that, yeah. yeah. Weeks away is like somewhere around there.
Yeah, versus
7 years and 4 months or whatever. So they decide, hey, yeah, let's just go take a look. We don't have to commit to anything. Daniels, the heroine of the story, she reluctantly agrees. She actually doesn't agree. She protests and has it put on the captain's log, but she has to go along with her captain, so she goes. Little do we know, she was correct. Mm-hmm. The planet's not... Well, planet is habitable. They can breathe outside vac suits.
It is essentially Earth-like.
It is very Earth-like. The problem with it is there is nothing living on that planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out why. So they go, they take one of the landers and they go down, not all of them, 14 left because captain's dead. So, there's three left on board. Do the math real quick. 11 of them go down to the surface.
That sounds about right.
Cause there's three, there's, Tennessee, the one chick and the black guy.
Yeah. They all stay up.
Which basically is like their communications crew, flight team.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they would stay there. So the 11 of them go down, that includes Walter, the synthetic, to the planet. They decide they're going to, you know, find this beacon because they wonder if someone's alive, which is just how, you know, everyone's thinking. They, one person stays back, which is the pilot of the lander.
Yep.
She has to work on the communications because it got damaged in the ion storm they flew through, which should tell you right away that you shouldn't live on this planet, because... That ionosphere is rough sauce.
Yeah.
Like, you see that storm, be like, no, this ain't good.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for this to clear.
Yeah, let's just stay in space for a little bit. So they get roughed up in the storm coming down. 10 of the crew go out while she tries to patch up the ship with her little Audi robot, if you didn't notice that, Joe. That was pretty funny to me.
Yeah, I laughed at it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, look, it's the Audi rover. Two people split off from those 10 to do some chem work and stuff, whatever that's called, biological stuff, you know, testing water and soil and blah, blah, blah,
because
they have to plant stuff because, again, colony and terraforming. The other eight go up to try to find the signal, stumble upon
an alien ship.
An alien ship. And for us who have seen the other ones, especially Prometheus, you recognize it pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they walk inside.
Yeah, you walk inside and they're like, oh, what's this? And it's like, oh, is that something, you know, that has a picture of Elizabeth Shaw? Her dog tags are hanging up.
Yeah, her dog tags were hanging up. They had a picture of her and her husband or boyfriend.
The guy who got from the Prometheus. First got sick because David.
And then they found her piece of spacesuit. The
upper part of her spacesuit in a creepy, weird thing of water, which was super unsettling. Billy Crudup and two or three other people find what we now know as the cockpit for the jockeys. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite parts is like the one girl says, "Oh, they were giants."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Or statues to make them look like giants." I was like, "All right, you faith guy." Billy Crudup accidentally turns on the holographic system, which seems apparently to be easy to do in these ships. They get their first glimpse of hologram Shaw. She is sending a message, and that's when you hear her for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that Walter realizes that, or tells Daniels that she was on the ship that disappeared, Prometheus. Meanwhile, down of the two people who were doing biological work, dude steps away to take a pee, air quotes, lights up a cigarette. These, by the way, one of the worst set of people to have out in a new world. One of the main military guys that's with him is smoking a cigar.
Right? I saw that too.
This dude's smoking a cigarette. I'm like, yo. Not a great way to start this off, by the way.
Right.
He's introducing pollutants right away.
Mm-hmm.
Earthbound pollutants, no less. I mean, granted, they run into like earth-based plants because they find wheat there. It's been planted. What's that thing called? Starts with an A. Agriculturally. Don't even say it is. But he steps away to, air quotes, take a pee, lights a cigarette, accidentally steps on a spore pod, which is not the name of them, so called something else. When it breaks, it shoots up the spores. You see it collect as a single working organism, even those little itty-bitty parts, flies into his ear, and then you get a super creepy inside look of his ear as it flies in and then, like, digs into his flesh.
Those were called egg sacs.
Egg sacs. I knew they had a different name. Joe's reading off of a picture I found that Fox released that has details about the three different alien species or alien forms we've seen so far and their gestations.
The little dust that comes out is called motes. The
motes.
Microscopic dust like spores released from the egg sac. Motes are able to group together instinctively, invading the host body through open orifices. Like once attached, the motes plunge a feeding tube into the host's skin, injecting eggs into the body and causing the gestation to begin.
Yep. Which you see.
Oh, yeah.
He starts to get sick. They decide to go back to the ship, obviously to try to make him not sick. The same time, when the other eight people are up at the ship, one of the guys squeezes one of the egg pods, and it also shoots the motes up, and they go into his nose. You don't get to see an inside view of it, but you kind of get the justification of what happens because you saw the ear thing.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to get sick. Well, they get the distress call back from the other two saying, "Hey, we need you back at the ship. Some shit's going down. Like, what's his name is sick." So they start rushing down. He starts getting sick. They notice it. They are slowed down from that. Plus, they're like many kilometers, like 7 or 6 kilometers away from him. So they're going their way there. The dude who got the one from the ear, he's in terrible fucking shape. Within, I'm gonna guess, minutes. Yeah. Not like, you know, a minute. Like, I'm talking like probably 10, 15, 20 minutes somewhere around there. The trek back. The one chick's panicking, yelling at the pilot to help her. She's freaking out because the guy looks fucking terrible.
Which, admittedly, I mean, if you're putting into that position, like, don't you just, like, full-on quarantine? Nope. Sorry, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, she kind of wanted to. She even said so. But, yeah, no, I would, like, no, that dude looks sick as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
They stumble in trying to call the captain. He's rushing back, or they're rushing back. They go in. They put him on the table. The one chick's trying to calm him down. I think she goes and gets like a syringe or something. The pilot lady who's reluctantly helping them rips open his shirt, trying to get like his clothes off of him, and his back has these blood blister looking things, and they explode in her face, shooting blood and probably some other stuff on her face. She freaks out, leaves, locks the door like a smart person.
Actually, yeah.
For 1 point, smart person.
Yeah.
Goes in, goes to call the captain again, is just panicky, and like the ship Covenant in space is hearing this as well. Tennessee's trying to help her not freak out. That's his wife, by the way. She's like, don't tell me not to freak out. Then she goes back to the med bay. Instead of opening the door, looks in and sees that the festering on his back is getting worse. The chick inside is begging to get out. She's like, let me out, let me out. Don't unlock the door. She's like, nah, we're going to wait till the captain gets here. Well, she goes back to trying to comfort this guy because he's spasming and shit. I don't know why she went to hug him, but has her hand on his back and the spines stick out, barely missing her fingers. I think maybe it cuts her, I don't know. And then that's when we get our first look at any type of alien. And this thing literally rips itself out of his back. And it's super dope to watch because his back arches. This thing erupts out of it. And then he collapses backwards as this blood sac full of an alien falls to the ground along with his other parts of him.
Known as a blood burster.
Blood burster blood burster versus a chest burster, by the way.
Yep.
The reason why is because it infects anything that has blood, so it gestates inside veins and arteries, erupting out of said blood areas, blood burster. And it was fucking fantastic because it's like.
It was very much a callback to the chest burster type thing, except this one comes out of his back.
It does come out of his back, which is fucking terrible.
But again, as Ridley Scott did in Alien, this is one of two scenes, actually, that he didn't tell the cast what was going to happen, so their reactions are real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's the pilot chick, the dude with the blood splatter, right?
Yes.
So when she opens his back up, it shoots blood in her face. She generally gets disgusted and, like, freaked out. That was genuine because they didn't tell her what was going to happen. She was supposed to rip off his back and see something. The difference is they rigged it up to shoot shit in her face. Pretty sure I would have freaked out too.
Yeah.
So this thing erupts out of his back. He falls lifeless and just stuff just pouring out of him, which is gross. The chick on the outside of the med bay sees this and runs. I was like, yeah, you better run. She doesn't run all the way. She doesn't run away at all. She goes and grabs a shotgun. I was like, cool, all right. Obviously, you can see it's alive. You see that. You're going to shoot a shotgun. Cool. Mm-hmm. Then, as this thing is, like, essentially getting out of its little sack, it starts to, like, kind of look around or listen around because it has an echo location type thing. It makes these noise, like, clicking noises. It then senses another creature in there, another life form, and starts to attack the other lady that's in there. Well, then she decides, the lady with the shotgun on the outside, I'm going to go in and save her.
With a shotgun.
Cool. All right. Fantastic. Goes in, gets ready to fire, slips in the giant building puddle of blood, falls back, shoots the roof, scares this thing, tries to clamber out, goes to shut the door. It shuts on her foot, and you hear a crunch.
Mm-hmm.
May not have broken, but it did do something bad. She gets her foot out. Just in time, the door shuts. The Neomorph hits the door, is crying out, crawls up the door. She sees it. She makes a limp run for it. It's banging its fucking face on the window. Gets out, so it's now loose out of the med bay. She then stumbles to get another gun. Hides behind the cargo netting, waits for it, starts shooting at it, causes a fucking reaction because she's shooting just randomly inside the hangar bay, causes an explosion. The Neomorph runs out through the dock right as the other team is approaching. Shuttle blows up, engulfed in flames, erupts several times because of the fucking shotgun blast going off on the inside, which I'm pretty sure is not supposed to happen.
No, she definitely
reason the shotguns are locked up, which they did not relock up. That was a problem. She then causes it to blow up. She stumbles out on fire down the ramp, which I thought was horrible. Because she was still alive, screaming. The captain, not knowing what's happening, his wife doesn't know what happened to her. She's the one that's actually in the med bay who got her fucking face torn apart, and amongst other things, I'm sure, arms and fingers and chestal areas. They don't notice it at the time, but when they walked up before it erupts, they actually can see the neomorph run out of the ship from their perspective and run off into the grassy area. Daniel stops the captain from running into the explosion like a dummy. Distraught dummy, I understand. If you know your wife was in a ship and it blew up, you'd probably be distraught too.
Yeah.
The others are trying to help this other guy who's sick. Little do they know what's about to happen to him. This is the one that got me like a little... So the bursting out of the back and then with the little the blood sac thing... the placenta, you could say.
It was disgusting.
Was gross. This one's fucking gnarly. So this dude falls down. They're trying to comfort him. He's spazzing out. They're trying to hold him from, you know, hurting himself. Little do they know. Blood starts spewing out of his mouth. Then it starts shooting out of his mouth. And then you hear the cracking and, like, the flesh being torn in a way. Like, you know, like, if you were to like rip a steak, you know, and then this bulbous thing just erupts out of his mouth and it's fucking disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And once it just breaks loose, he's dead. Like it's just insides just start coming out of his mouth, which is, and then it claws its way out of its placenta blood sac thing and starts to literally grow in front of you. They freak out. They start shooting at it. Runs off into the grass. And then little time passes. They didn't build a fire then. They were just kind of standing around the body.
No, they were just kind of standing around the body. It was starting to get darker out as this time goes on. The captain was still just...
staring at the wreckage.
Staring at the wreckage. Like, just... he was gone at this point.
Yeah. Check that.
The leftover team... then begins to come together, you know, essentially back to back.
Yep.
When suddenly out of nowhere, one of the neomorphs just, you know, like
basically charges
through, knocks that one dude's jaw straight off.
Well, it was after, no, because that's the part where it jumped at Daniels. Walter jumped in front of it, hit it. It latched onto his hand and bit his hand off.
Mm-hmm.
Then as it ran through, they started shooting it, so it started defending itself. Whipped its tail around and just ripped the dude's jaw right the fuck off. Like, you see it. Like, it's like, all, like, whoosh, and his jaw gone. It's like, and falls dead because its jaw just got ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
And it then charges, jumps on the other lady, which I don't think we actually even really hear. I mean, they say her name, but I don't remember what it is. It's viciously attacking her. She's defending herself by putting her arms up, and it's, you can hear flesh tearing. I'm like, well, this chick's dead for sure. They shoot at it, hit it a couple times, or almost hit it. It jumps off. They hit it. They end up killing it, but then another one comes charging in. It is... oh, no, that's the second one.
That's the second one.
Yeah. They kill the first one after it gets thrown off and hits that guy's fucking jaw off. Second one then charges, hits the girl, starts ravaging her. Then a form out of the darkness comes in a cloak, and shoots what looks like a magnesium flare up. It erupts. Everyone's like, whoa, shit, like this. The aliens, like, stopped. And then the flare hits the ground and erupts again, and it just runs off in terror. Then this person says, hurry up, and they, like, leads them away, the surviving members, that is, which at this point is now six, seven, three, five.
Numbers, yes.
Five. I think it's five. Five or six. I can't remember.
Because 11 go down.
11 go down. Two die on the ship. Or three. Four get killed. Five get killed. Jaw goes off. That's five.
Yeah.
So six.
So six.
My math right? Six?
Sounds right.
Five humans and a synthetic. It's six. Yeah, I guess. Because it's Daniels, the captain, the chick, the two army guys, and then Walter. Yeah. So six, that was right. Math. Remembering. They give you numbers. You're supposed to do the math. They get led into the forest and through this thing. There's like this weird gate thing. They're like squeeze through and they realize like there's just these massively deformed bodies piled up. And you're at this point, you're like, what
the fuck?
Because they're like all
here?
Blackened and like fucking disformed.
Very
and, like, just
like if you've seen pictures of Pompeii, people frozen in
yes,
in whatever action they were doing at that point in time, that's exactly yep. what it looked like, except
all
black.
Yep, and they don't look like they're just like hanging out. They're like terrified and like limbs are split off.
Giant hill of beings just trying to crawl out of the. Of the area
because it like it's a gated area, like these big bars come down and it looks like this mystery person has broken through the pile of them and made a path to get out through the gate, which is fucking terrible. But then you find out who this is and you're like, well, obviously he has no feeling for anybody. They walk across this ginormous courtyard and this hugely walled in area that has these weird like central holes and pillars and statues to this monolith of a building, like sort of pyramid, sort of roundish head ball thing. This spinning round disc gate opens up as they walk through. They all walk in. You hear it shut. They're in this big central area where like water, because it's raining at this point, water's coming down to the middle. You can see it's cavernous and huge. And has faces, which is just super creepy. Like, why would you do that? Ephesus is just giant.
But that's what that culture was.
It's true. They were really big, like, fucking statue people and face people. Then it's the person in the cloak reveals who they are, and it is David with long hair. You can see the bleached portion of it has grown out to his natural brown. I skipped over the whole beginning part. It doesn't matter. When you first meet David, when he was the firstborn with Peter Whalen.
It was a good thing to explain, you know, where his beginning of his disdain for humanity comes from. But yeah, I mean, it's...
It doesn't matter.
That's it.
Yeah. And so, and there's some detail in that I'm not going to go into because I'm not going to talk about it. Doesn't matter. So you like, everybody's shocked, but Walter, by far, who's the synthetic, is just... Florida, this he's like staring at himself, but like a more aged version of himself. Mm-hmm. And I say aged, not like skin wise, but like hair wise. And then so he tells him that basically what happened to Shaw, Elizabeth Shaw, is they, as their entry into the planet, they lost control of the ship. The payload was dropped, which is the God particle, and then inside the little pill things, killing everything. That they know of, causing bad things to happen. They crash the ship. She dies in the wreck. He finds his way there. That's where we're at. Right? So, everyone's kind of at a sense of ease. A couple of them go up to the roof to try to get a signal go through the ion storm to communicate with Covenant to try to get them off the planet because bad shit's happening. You know, like aliens ripping people apart and also being born out of their bodies, which is fucking terrible. They're trying, finally get through to him saying, hey, like, oh, fucking come save us. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to strip down this other lander. We'll come get you. Cool. So we go back in. Everyone's kind of a little bit at ease. The captain's trying to figure himself out. Daniel's trying to help him figure himself out. The one girl says, hey, I'm going to go clean up because I'm fucking gross. They're like, okay, just don't wander far. She wanders far, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, up some stairs, around a corner, down fucking four blocks. Mind this place is massive, and all the hallways are made for, you know, well, giants. Engineers. So she's away from everybody because that's a brilliant idea. And outside the compound, we see a scuttling white form. And guess who that is?
It is... The Neomorph.
Neomorph. And this thing has tracked them down. Why, you may ask? Because these creatures, as they're designed, have sensors to be able to sense life forms or prey.
And there's pretty much no other prey around.
Yep, because they have killed everything before now. And so it crawls, it scuttles its way up the wall, sneaks in. She's in there trying to clean up from the savage mauling she got with these... gnarly holes in her forearms.
Yeah, I didn't really notice those until she
peeled off her little fucking bandage.
Yeah, when
like,
it actually
bandages.
Happened,
yeah.
When she peels off that bandage, it's just like fucking right into the arm.
Yeah,
I was like,
holes.
Oh.
I was like, good Lord.
Yeah.
So it sneaks up on her, munches her neck, kills her, rips her fucking head off.
But we don't know that just yet.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah, we see it bite into her.
It's just literally sitting there feasting on her
yep.
when David and,
The captain. The captain show up.
Mm-hmm.
David sees it first. He then tries to communicate, knowing that he's safe, because, A, he lived through this already, if you guys didn't figure that out.
But he's also, I would imagine it's also because he's a synthetic. And it's not something that
it can use.
Yeah, yep. It's something that it really feeds off of and doesn't really consider him much of a threat at that
yep.
point right in there.
So this is the part that gets super creepy. So it leaves its prey, the body it's feasting on, walks over on all fours, and then stands up in front of David, and you finally get to see how big this fucking thing is. And it actually is taller than David.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if we want to do the math real quick, I don't know how tall Michael Fassbender is, but this thing's at least 6'6". At least 6'6". Pale alabaster white fucking skin. No facial features whatsoever, except for this little butthole of a mouth.
Which you don't even really see in the
shot. Which you don't really see in the shot until it starts to do its thing, which David tries to communicate with it, and he hears a whistle, like this little butthole pucker whisper that comes out. He tries to do the same thing by puckering his lips and blowing out. It starts to react, and that's when you really see it. And then El Capitan shows up with his assault rifle right behind David, says move, and just fucking unloads into this thing. And then you see the mouth retract and like snarl out, but it's getting hit and it's trying to fight back, and he just fucking, I'll say this, mildly handles it pretty well.
Yeah,
he kills that thing. Then forces David to tell him what's going on. Pause for a second. Before this happens, Walter and David, and the reason I paused, I wanted to get into that first. We go back a little bit. Walter and David have a palaver.
I was wondering if you're going to explain this part.
Yes, and I want to explain that part first.
Okay.
So we get a little backstory. We are told by David to Walter what happened, air quotes, but we get to see the perspective of David remembering. So we get flashback sequences of the ship flying in, almost docking with another one, it seemed.
Yeah, it seemed like that was its like docking
yeah.
station. Something
the
like
people
that.
Gather below it like, oh, the Ventures are back there early, because they definitely weren't expecting them. People are coming out of these giant engineer people are coming out watching this. And then you see a hole opening up in the bottom of the ship, and then you get to see the inside, and it's actually the
cargo area,
and the iris is open, and there's David standing there, and he drops all of the canisters, virtually all the canisters, down, and it's pretty cool because it drops out of the ship, which is hundreds of yards above the ground, and they start to spiral into like almost a DNA looking thing, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then they airburst all in this one area as they get down so far and they all start burning, and then just this cloud of the goo literally rains down on these people as they start to run, and it starts to just devour them, and you see tentacles and tendrils just start to rip out of these people because it's rewriting their DNA, as you know from watching Prometheus when they do mm-hmm. drink it, which seems like a terrible idea. What short stick did he get? And just starts erupting people, and you realize that's what happened to all those people in the courtyard, is David dropped that payload down on top of them, I'm guessing to see what happens. We find out later exactly what happens.
I imagine that he knew
he had an idea
of what would happen.
He just wanted to see what the ship... I'm guessing he wanted to see the devastation the ship can do because it's designed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He saw it, all right. And then you realize, yes, that's exactly what happened to those decimated corpses that are piled up on the gate and around the courtyard. Well, we know what happens. They literally got fed on, and that's the reason they looked wrecked and torn up, because that's exactly what happens. And releasing, I'm going to guess, Deacons. Or no, not Deacons, because no, Deacons would be nice. So it would have to be some other form you don't know of yet, right?
I'm going
to
say that this is where even Prometheus and this movie get a little bit questionable, because you don't have a direct link between the goo and the alien. But from what I had read is that the goo essentially just breaks them down into
breaks
something.
Breaks down the DNA.
The DNA into something that can be used by whatever local animals and whatnot are there. So I would say that here it broke them down. You're not going to get direct aliens out of that, but that's where you get the eggs from.
Well, you get like something similar to a face hugger, like you saw. Like, so when in Prometheus, you guys remember Prometheus, back when the egg, when they opened up that one sealed chamber and the eggs started to leak the goo out of them, it got with the earthworms and made that weird snake face hugger thing.
Right.
I'm guessing something similar happens. It breaks down that molecules, rebuilds it into
something. But
that.
But from there you get the egg things, and then from the egg things you get the motes. From the motes is where you get the rest of the.
You get the neomorphs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So from what I was reading, again, I mean, obviously there's no real source material for this. What I was reading is, so when the goo rewrites the DNA, it makes itself into something that can then create an alien. So basically this alien, over the 10 years or however long, when Eliza Shaw's ship and David's ship lands and drops the payload, it decimates all organic life on this planet. So animals, humanoid creatures, whatever, anything biological. I shouldn't say organic because that's plants. Anything biological, so human, like flesh-based. Or I guess really DNA. Anyways. It erupts out of them, creates something that then goes forth and kills everything else. And as their food source dies away because of the eradication that it is, the bodies of whatever creatures were made decay, and the egg, what is it, spore, or what are they called, eggs?
They were called egg sacs.
Egg sacs form out of the decaying body, making the moat. So as the creatures run out of food and die, their bodies decay, just like ours do, and then other life forms would normally come out of them, maggots and things like that, because of the things that land on us and grow out of us, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is designed so when it decays, it makes a form in the egg sacs that then wait and, like, dormant, waiting for a new host, because it senses a host either being stepped on or pinched, and then creates then thirst. So basically, the goo created something that ravaged this planet, probably multiple versions of it. We only saw the goo stuff or making black tentacles, killing everything, makes some kind of creature that then goes through, probably goes to that same cycle of attacking something, it's face huggerish, implants an embryo, that comes out as something, keeps that cycle, keeps going until everything on the planet's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Those things then run out of food, die, when they decay, make the egg spores, and then we get there and fuck shit up. Then we find out later that is exactly what happens, but David, throughout these years that he's been here, has been experimenting with the different life forms on the planet. So it doesn't just happen and just spread over. It's a hunting cycle. There's probably lots of living creatures that were on that planet, just like we have living creatures all over our planet.
Yeah.
Not just us, but all different species of animals. And he literally slowly goes through and basically causes that evolutionary change over and over again on the different species that he can get a hold of. And so you see the different variations of we end up seeing as the neomorph, but you can see the different variations of it on his little table that he has with all the reimagined, taxidermied bodies of them and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Different, like, because there's like bug forms and there's like humanoid forms and there's like there's a dog looking one and like a little like almost like apish ones and stuff. So you see that there's different variations, and he's telling Chris, the captain, exactly what he was doing. And he goes, but the thing I wanted to show you is down here. Now, anybody knows the lore of the Xenomorph? The Xenomorph is the perfect killing machine, killing weapon. It's the perfect thing to kill whatever is near it. Why, you may ask? It's silent, it's fast, it's agile, it's deadly, has multitude of weapons, including a spiked tail, it's razor sharp, and its blood is corrosive. Very, very corrosive. Like burn through a ship's hull corrosive. So, throughout the experimenting, he has finally found what he believes to be the best version of it. Leads Chris downstairs. Chris sees 6 to 7 eggs as we know them, the little egg pods, the ones more classic ones, which is that little like gross leatherish looking thing that has like the peelable top, where we know the from all the other alien movies, the facehuggers come out of. So, as Joe pointed out and said articulately, David is the one that actually engineers the Xenomorph as we know it. Now, he has not seen what the Xenomorph looks like yet because he doesn't have the last ingredient, which is what Chris asks him, what are they waiting for? And he says, Mother. I was then thinking, the alien or the AI on the ship? That makes no sense. And they realize, no.
He means mother as something that can gestate.
Birthed it. Yeah. So then Chris foolishly looks into a opening egg, which, by the way, if I saw something that looked like that in a creepy basement and it opened up, I wouldn't get closer to it.
Even if you do, you see something moving inside of there, you don't put your face even in closer, which is what he does.
Dummy. And then the facehugger grabs a hold of him, chokes him out. A little while later, David's throwing rocks at his body. He wakes up, no facehugger on him. He looks over, it's dead, because that's exactly what happens. Once it goes inside of you, it dies because it's done its job, because it's just essentially a way to pass its DNA onward to where it needs to go. He then is starting to question David, like, what's going on, and then has a slight pain in his chest, you could say.
Yeah, a little heartburn.
And then a chest burster right out.
So classic-ish.
So classic-ish, just way more violent and way more gorgeous.
I say ish because if you look at the classic chest burster, because I still have that thing pulled up.
Yeah.
Classic chest burster is just more of a more compact, like, little tiny thing.
Yeah, so
where this one seemed to come out similar, but like within seconds,
the arms come out.
You could see more of the classic Xenomorph.
Yeah, so if you look, I don't know, I can probably pull that picture up as well.
I mean, no reason to.
But so describe what I'm about to talk. So if you look at the chest burst of the classic one, you can see that it's not just like this weird penis looking thing with a mouth. It has all like just like an embryo, like when as a fetus is growing, you see the parts growing out of it. Yeah. This has them, and it's literally growing in seconds. So normally you would see it and would run off on its tail and hide somewhere.
Which is what we see in the classic Alien movie.
It
looks around and it just takes off.
And if you look at the body, you can see it has a lot of the same. You can see the arms that just haven't come out. They haven't formed completely yet, just like a fetus does. But in this, we actually get to see it gestate right in front of us. So as it erupts and it peels itself out of its placenta, you see the arms here also. The arms forming and pull away. And then it separates its head. You can see the pill, like that long head, pull off the body. And you see the body forming out of that. And like it has legs. And you see the tail kind of unravel itself. You
got the little spikes that come out of the back of it.
You can see them, I don't even know if they're spikes.
They're not spikes, but I mean, they look like spikes at first. But they're like more of just like a tube type thing.
Yeah, those form out of the back. And you see it look like a classic Xenomorph does. And then it cuts to the crew looking for the captain. They stumble upon the dead Neomorph and the dead chick whose face is spinning in the pool, in a little sink thing.
Yep, that's when we find out that she's been decapitated.
Well, we find out when no, because Captain. Well, that's true. Yeah. And then so they keep looking. They find David's atrium thing with all the taxidermied creatures and the drawings. That point, you also Daniels and Walter decide, hey, they're on their way. We need to go get everybody. Like, so they go searching. The two military guys, I'm guessing, I don't know who they actually are.
Yeah, the two military guys at this point, the two left walk downstairs to still try and locate the captain.
Yeah, so one of them goes down in the basement, again, by himself. Mm. Idiots. They've never seen a horror movie? He then sees the captain's body with the devastated hole in it, dead as can be, and then looks over and something moves, and then you see a second egg is opened, and then you see a facehugger run and jump at him. It grabs a hold of his gun because he holds it in front of him. Little bit of shooting, and it jumps off and runs up the stairs, and he says, "Watch out." The other military guy who's still in the little fucking taxidermy room sees it scuttle behind a table, goes to get it. It launches at him. He almost gets a hand underneath it, but it kind of gets around his neck, so it's not choking him out yet, but it's on his face, which you know is bad news.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, could he be saved? The other guy gets up there, says, "Stop," because he's pawing at it, moves his hand, he cuts it. It screams, acid blood falls out, falls on the guy's face. He's screaming. It flies off. You think, oh, he killed it. It saved it, right? You see a little tube thing just kind of fall down out of its, I guess, mouth or vagina thing.
There you go. We're going to have to call it like it is because it's not a mouth. It's penis.
It is its penis.
It sticks its alien wang
down your throat,
yep. And rapes your face.
It does. So you're thinking, oh, maybe he's infected. And then, so he's patching him up. He's trying to help him. And then they hear something. And the dude, like a fucking dickhole, sees above this guy who's trying to help him with this now melting hole in his face, sees something and yells and runs away. And the guy's like, what? Turns around and gets fucking just mounted and eaten by the xenomorph. Full grown. Xenomorph just fucking devastates this fucking kid. He runs, almost runs into Daniels, who got in a fight with David because she stumbled upon into his little fucking drawing room where she finds out she finds Shaw's body first, right?
Was this yes, I believe she.
And then she finds the drawings.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I'm skipping over
which
stuff.
Which was still disgusting.
Like, yeah, super gross.
And something not expected because when you were talking about the part with David, he literally shows you just like a headstone saying, alluding to this is where he buried Shaw.
Yep.
And you're like, wow, he cared for her. And there was a whole lot of discussion between David and Walter about caring for a human and something because Walter cares for Daniels.
Yep. But out of duty, not for life.
Yeah. But then you find here that Elizabeth Shaw the whole entire time has been just splayed out like a cadaver at a medical school, just opened up and you can see her insides and everything. And you're like, oh, that's disgusting because you also realize that she's been dead for 10 years.
Yeah. You know, for fucking gross.
Yeah.
So then she stumbles upon his little drawing room. She's in there. Walter confronts David. David stabs Walter in the throat with a flute. He shuts down the classic synthetic style, bunches up, falls to the ground. David then pulls out the flute, shakes off the milk. We get a first glimpse at something new. The camera pans in slowly as from the dripping milk from what we see is coming out of Walter's nose. And it pans over, and you see the wound on his throat actually seal up itself. Then David finds Daniels in his little drawing room, attacks her, tells her that she says, "I know what you did to Elizabeth Shaw." He goes, "Well, good, because that's what I'm going to do to you." He's about to choke her ass out. She stabs him in the throat, and it's very important. That's my one gripe about this movie. She has this nail, because some details, on this necklace around her neck. She snaps it off, stabs him in the chin with it. My favorite line, by the way, from David is, "Now we're playing. Now you're trying," or something like that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Super creepy. Throws her ass across the room. She's trying to scramble away. He throws her on top of the table. Is throttling her. And if you don't know what that means, is literally choking the life out of her. And one of my favorite things is, you see the nails still stuck in his chin with the necklace, the rawhide necklace hanging down, while choking the life out of her. And then he gets accosted by a, oh my God, not dead Walter. He says to Daniels, "Run." She then stands there for a second. He goes, "Oh, run." Because that always happens. Fisticuffs happen. David charges at Walter. Walter just shrugs him off, throws his ass out the fucking hallway. He bounces down into the little atrium area they were in before. She's scrambling away. She runs into Bernie Face. They say, "We got to get out of here." They run down, grab their packs, which I wouldn't have done. I would have just run. But you find out why they need it, because there's a beacon in there. I wouldn't have been there. I'm like, well, we're fucked. So hopefully he can hear us. They run out because Tennessee's now coming down with the second lander. David and Walter have a fight. David's like, "You were dead." And he's like, "Well, there's been some upgrades," alluding to the fact that he heals himself from minor wounds. I'm guessing that if his head gets pulled off, or say his hand gets bitten off by an alien, because that shit didn't sprout back.
No.
I'm going to guess it's superficial stuff, like, you know, stab wounds. They get in a fight. Walter is pounding David's face in with a rock. He says, "You know, you got to make a choice. It's them or me." While he's reaching for a knife out of Walter's view. And then a rock's coming down, cuts to them running out. The ship's coming down with the beacon. Walter comes looking, goes to the door, looks back, runs down after him. As they're at the very bottom, they're running towards the ship. The xenomorph comes out the door and then starts racing down the steps of this mausoleum thing after him. They start to take off. It jumps on the bottom. Tennessee sees it. Big old shit happens. I'm not going to spoil everything for you. They kill it, get back to the ship. They're patching up Bernie Face with the other two people that are on there. They're putting this weird little bead shit on his face, like putty, which is really super creepy.
Yeah, which was really weird, yeah.
Saying he's going to need some more surgery from someone who's like an actual doctor. Then all's well. Everybody's good. Daniels is cooking eggs. She has a moment with Tennessee. Walter is checking on the ship. The other two people that are on board, again, I can't remember their names, are just off somewhere. We'll find out in a minute. And then it cuts to a blaring alarm saying Captain Daniels to the bridge, or to Med Bay. Captain Daniels to the Med Bay. She wakes up. Why? Mother then tells her there's a foreign, there's a unknown, unidentified life form on board. She goes, "Ugh." Runs out, runs into Tennessee, well, not runs into, meets Tennessee in the hall, in one of the hallways with a gun. They run in the med bay. Lo and behold, blood splatter everywhere, and Bernie Face has a giant hole in his chest.
Yeah.
What? Didn't see that one coming, unless you paid attention to the alien penis that was in his throat.
Mm-hmm.
Did his business, died. Wasn't from a knife wound to the weird air sac thing. That shit done got its rocks off and died like a man.
Yeah.
Or napped, whatever. So then they're searching the ship. Walter's helping him track it. They say it's, you know, over by the crew quarters and went down there. Yes, it's so and so and so and so. They're like, shit. So they run down there, or running that way. We cut to the sex scene.
Yeah.
Every good Aliens movie has a sex scene.
You got to.
Except for Aliens.
Right.
But that's because that movie's an action movie. But I'll let it slide. Oh, there's a sex scene in that with a facehugger, but that's a different story. They're getting it on in the shower, all steamy-steamy-like. they're, you know, getting on, some music going in the background, and then like a shifty, shadowy form shows up kind of behind the wall. Split second, she sees that thing, goes to grab her boyfriend, husband, whatever he happens to be, shower mate at that time, and then classic alien style, guess what happens? In her mouth comes shooting through that dude's face, killing him, obviously. It then charges through the window or the glass thingy it just shattered, gets her. Daniels and Tennessee show up. Dead bodies, massively dead bodies, just laying there, blood everywhere. And then Tennessee sees bloody footprints leading away. And Daniel's like, oh, Walter, where's it at? Daniel's like, over here. Obviously.
Mm.
They follow it, and they get this plan. Like, hey, she says, hey, let's not try to track it. Let's try to, like, get it on our territory. So then they shut down the ship, leading it to the hangar bay that has the terraforming equipment, which is giant tractor equipment. Decide to lead it in there, set a trap for it, get it stuck in one of the cabs, and then they're going to dump it out the ship. Like, get out. Some shit happens. They do it. Happy ending. You think?
Yeah.
Then they're like, we're going to go on to our mission because
we still have the rest of the,
yeah,
you know,
of all these colonists to go.
Colonists.
So Tennessee goes into cryo. Daniels is going into cryo and then says to Walter, like, hey, Walter, and this leads back to something I didn't talk about earlier, will you help me build my log cabin? He looks at her vacantly and she goes, you know, the log cabin, and then realizes, oh, shit. And she says, David, and he has this smarmy smile on his face, which is just super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Captain, I'll be okay. And you're like, fuck. That wasn't Walter at all. That's why he had to staple his face up.
Yep.
And this is my gripe about the movie. Continuity errors. Okay? And I'm explaining this. It seems very shallow. We are told that Walter heals.
Mm-hmm.
I believe not everybody knows that he can do this.
Don't think so.
No. Obviously, David didn't know. I don't think Daniels knows. I don't think any of them know. It just happens that if you were probably a synthetic mechanic, you probably would know.
Yes.
Or a science officer, which none of the surviving ones were.
Mm.
But as audience members, we always had this feeling, like, I don't think that's Walter because he's not healing. Because earlier in the movie, which I wanted to skip over, because you see him stapling himself shut.
Mm-hmm.
She comes and helps him. This is the continuity error. Earlier in the movie, she shoves that nail in his chin, causing a hole. David doesn't heal, so that hole's there. When the fight between David and Walter happened, you can see there's a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Later on the ship, when they're on the second lander, you see the hole's gone.
Right.
But he still has the open wounds on his face, where we as audience members know... was from punches from David. I'm saying Walter now. But I had suspected that it was not Walter because those had not healed up. So I was like, well, that motherfucker is David. You can't trust that motherfucker. That David is bad news. She doesn't know that. She thinks it's Walter because he's wearing Walter's clothes and has a missing hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking for that hole in his chin. I expected him to staple it shut, but it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Even when her only vantage point to see it was when she was in the cryo, she should have seen a staple on his chin letting her know that was David.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. My only gripe about this movie, I mean, I had some weird gripes, but it's just because people are dumb, but it happens. If people weren't dumb, then people wouldn't get murdered by aliens.
Right.
But that was my only thing. It's like, come on, like, continuity error. The hole is a dead giveaway because she knows she shoved a nail through his chin and there should be a hole there. There should be a staple holding it shut so he's not leaking fucking milk out of his chin. My only issue. So then she goes to sleep because they turn on the cryo pod. He then saunters over, gives his access code because we didn't realize he was programming himself into Mother to obey his commands. Which people I said at work said, well, when did that happen? I was like, you saw him working on the computer.
Yeah.
Yes, he can sound like Walter, but he's an egotistical maniac.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to put himself in the computer. And because he knows the computer systems, and he probably knows Walter's passcodes, or at least knows how to get in the system, can then put himself in the system and use voice commands. Anyways, says David, gives his number, She opens up. He goes over to one of the earlier we saw fetus trays, which we saw with the dead one in it. He opens it up, regurgitates two facehugger embryos, puts them in there, closes it, and walks on his merry way. End of movie.
Yep.
Bam. Spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff in there I left out like we normally do. That's so you can enjoy it when you watch it. Or if you have watched it, do you remember all those things? I don't have to tell you about them. But yeah, fucking so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that shit was crazy because like as you watch it, obviously it unfolds at the very end, like it's literally just like showed you everything that was gonna happen. Like mm-hmm. If you think about it, like showing you the embryos in the thing, obviously the colonists, perfect candidate. Because if you think about what happened in Aliens, a colony was attacked by xenomorphs. We find out that an asteroid hit, blah blah blah, and released them on the drilling happened and released them on the planetoid they were on, devastating the colony, causing obviously the infestation of xenomorphs. Ripley's crew gets there, not knowing what's going on because all you have is a distress beacon that no one's answering back from. Shit happens. Well, in this one, same thing's going to happen because he's on a fucking colony ship with 1,000-plus fucking colonists and embryos, because he can then manipulate an embryo to grow into with an alien in it, which is fucking terrifying. Because I'm sure they have technology where they take an embryo and grows it to a baby, like a microwave or something. But, go ahead.
Ah, popcorn.
Oh, no. No, popcorn. No, I burnt that one. Well, we got 11,000, or we got 1,144 other ones. So basically, if you're counting along with us here, he's got a lot of bodies to implant bad things in.
Yep.
So I'm just hoping the next movie, whatever, I know there's a name for it, I can look it up, because he already announced the name of it.
Oh, did he already announce it?
Yeah, he already announced it, yeah.
Oh.
Because he's already writing it. The next one's going to start production in January.
Oh, good.
He's not waiting 5 years again.
I was actually wondering about that, if he'd wait for it.
Well, he started doing other things and then producing stuff, and then that's when the whole Aliens 5 with Blomkamp came into the fact, because Fox wanted to keep this going, mainly so he couldn't get his rights back for it, because once Fox, that 6 years goes by, Fox loses the rights. And so they're like, oh, we'll work out with you. And then he's like, well, I want to do it. And they're like, okay, fine. But they had to get in that mark, because if he lollygagged too long and didn't have anything done within that 6 year mark, he could retain those rights to himself and go where he wants. But they made a deal with him so they can go on. But yeah, he wants to continue it himself with his own vision. He doesn't want to produce anymore, because that's where he kind of felt the only person he felt didn't do wrong by him was James Cameron, and that's why his name is on that's why Ridley Scott's name is associated with Aliens but is not with Alien 3.
Mm-hmm.
In Resurrection, because he believed those movies strayed away, which they did, from his ultimate vision.
Oh yeah.
So you're probably looking it up right now. I'm hoping that there's another ship that's years out that was headed towards Uruguay 6 as well, with an extra group of people that are supposed to meet there with the colonists, and that by the time, you know, years of 50, 60, 70, 100 years have gone by, that colony has grown and spread and become what it needs to be. But when they show up, nah, bro. Those two facehugger fetuses he had are like a king and a queen. Because a king and queen from, again, not canon anymore, but from the comic book series, can actually gestate and make xenomorphs without an egg and a host.
Right.
So with a king and a queen, they can fucking have space babies, and those space babies are full-grown, full-blown xenomorphs. So no having to have an egg, which she has to lay eggs. She lays them. Instead of just eating a facehugger, he comes over and just fucking like fish do and spray his stuff all over them. And then they just ate into a xenomorph instead of a facehugger. And that's why the facehuggers have similar structure to a xenomorph, just because that's what they're supposed to do. But they're like essentially like the egg and sperm, and when he comes by and puts his little ingredient, it then forms into a xenomorph. That's from the comic books, which don't actually technically exist in canon anymore, but they can obviously still do that. So that was my theory, is the two ovums he had, the two little facehugger ones, are a king and a queen. He then gestates them, and then they can grow and make other ones. But
makes sense. Here it says awakening.
Awakening, that was the one it was. But there was change. No, that was the other one. That was before.
Just from what I'd found, this one doesn't sound like it would be the third one, because this article from alien-covenant.com says that Awakening takes place between Prometheus and Covenant.
I think that's the comic book, which is now canon, by the way.
It says Awakening is supposedly the title of the next film in the Prometheus series.
I could have swore they said it was something else.
But that doesn't make sense to me to have it be a pre-sequel.
Yeah.
A pre-pre-sequel. Because in the third movie, they need to explain how the alien eggs as we know it end up on LV-426.
So I was going to tell you about that. I read a thing, again, fan theory about how that worked.
No,
so
fan theories are awful.
No, let me get to this. So in those years that David was on this planet by himself, well, this is where the theory comes from. Not all the space jockeys were in that little area, because there's got to be a place where the ships take off. So they were hiding in there, trying to fight off the various creatures that were being spawned by the thing. They got away, but he had compromised their ship somehow or something with the aliens. I don't know. They were talking about it. I was like, well, I guess that could make sense if they somehow got off that planet. But whatever. Yes, I believe he has, because unless he's going to rewrite what actually happened in Alien, but yeah, it doesn't say what it's called in here either. I know at one point he had talked about it, and they said they had a name for it.
Hmm. Yeah, because I'm not seeing anything else in the quick look that I have here. I mean, it's kind of hard to type in Alien 3 movie. Well, no, because that's Alien 3.
Yeah.
You can't call Prometheus 3 because there is no Prometheus 2.
Yeah, because it says here, Ridley Scott says, the screenplay for the third prequel film was written during the production of Alien Covenant and finished in 2017. Which, by the way, we're in, because they finished making this movie last year. There's all the post-production stuff done this way. And it's scheduled to begin in 2018. In March of 2017, Scott said that if I really want the franchise, I can keep cranking out another 6. Again, that's on top of those movies that he has planned out. I'm not going to close it down again, no way. And in April, he announced that the Neil Blomkamp Alien 5 had been canceled. Originally, we heard it was shelved. This is actually Fox has even confirmed that it's been canceled. In an interview, he said that he would have participated as a producer, but 20th Century Fox had decided not to pursue the project.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Which is unfortunate, because I think Neil Blomkamp is fucking ripe to make an Alien movie. I mean, he has made Alien movies, but an Alien franchise movie. Yeah, this doesn't actually have a name of it, but I know he had a name already settled for it, and I thought they talked about it already. But they changed Covenant once before as well.
Oh, yeah.
It was called something else before, which is escaping me at the moment, what it was actually called, but that's okay. Boom, boom, boom. Probably somewhere in here. It had a weird, a longer name, but I don't believe it started with Alien, though. That was later on, because Prometheus doesn't actually technically start with Alien.
No, it's just Prometheus.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Oh no, it did it. So on September 24th, Scott confirmed 2016. I'm sorry, 2015. Scott announced that the second film was titled Alien Paradise Lost.
Right, I do remember that now.
Then later on, in November 2015, Scott revealed that the new title for the film was Alien Covenant, and the filming would begin in the beginning of 2016 in Australia, and then they gave a logo, and then obviously a trailer. Boom. And we have a movie.
Hmm.
I know there's a name of it, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, whatever. Because I can't find it either.
Yeah. I do think it's funny, though, that Thor Ragnarok and Alien Covenant were actually being filmed in the same lot in Australia.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they're right next door to each other.
Wow.
That's really funny. I thought it was funny, at least. Yeah, no, he didn't say it. This little blurb I'm reading doesn't say it. So it says here, Scott confirmed Alien Covenant would be the first of three additional films in the Alien prequel series. So there'll be four prequels. It doesn't make sense that Awakening could be between those two.
Well, if he's going to do that, then yeah, it would make sense.
Said before linking up with the original Alien. So, you know, I guess it could go with... There's a bunch of years. What year would Alien take place again?
Alien?
Alien.
I don't remember.
Because there's 10 years between Prometheus and Covenant. I can probably...
Almost there.
Got it.
Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, he even says here he even said in an interview before Prometheus or before Covenant came out, says maybe there will be even a fourth film before we get back into the Alien franchise. Then in November 2015, Scott confirmed that Alien Covenant would be the first of three additional films in the Alien prequel series, which gives you a total of five, if you guys, or four if you don't do the math real quick, because you have Prometheus, and then three more, one of those including Covenant, so you have two more movies, then go back in, and they would link that to the original Alien. So he has two more movies before he has explained to us how they got on LV-246.
So Prometheus takes place in 2093, Alien takes place in 2122, Aliens takes place in 2179.
Yeah, because it's 50 years after.
57 or almost, years.
Yeah, 57 years after. And then Covenant obviously takes place 10 years after the end of Prometheus, which is a year after it starts.
So, yeah.
So 2104. So yeah. Then what was Alien? 21 what?
2122.
18 years? Is that right? No. Wait. No. Yeah, 18 years.
Because...
No. 22 and 4?
2122.
Yeah, 2122, because this one took place 2104.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
18 years, like
18
right?
years, yeah.
So, the next two movies have to take place in the next 18 years.
Yeah.
Into the next 18 years. Well, I mean, grand hopefully.
Movie-wise, hopefully movie not wise. Reality-wise.
Yeah. I mean, because he's going to start production in 2018 on the next one. I think that what they're saying, I guess in this Covenant, they talk about what happens in between Prometheus and this. So, I mean, Awakening, I think, is probably just a...
From what little blurb thing was talking about, it was just a better explanation of what happens between David and Shaw.
I don't want to see that movie.
Neither do I, really. Because we already have a decent idea of what happens, and we already know the end of it. Yeah, exactly. So, unless we were to find out... Unless this were to fall more into that that fan theory that you had explained,
yeah,
there's no other reason to go back and do it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the only thing with that fan theory is he would have had to have the facehugger or the xenomorph egg ready to go on those ships.
Right.
Which should take
a few generations to sit there and go through the different permutations and see what develops best.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, he could have, but...
And with the engineer's technology, because obviously they had the ability to manipulate DNA, he could have used their technology, which you really don't see outwardly in Covenant.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The other thing, too, is, like, if you remember back to... Alien, when they board the ship on LV-246, there was a hole in the space jockey's chest.
Yeah.
So technically speaking, on that moon,
LV-426 was
a moon, right? Was it a moon or was it a planetoid?
I think it was a planetoid.
They had spacesuits on. It doesn't mean anything. Because Ewoks on spacesuits and they're on a moon. That's right. I just linked Alien and Star Wars. Not in, like, universes, but, you know, in talking. So technically on whatever LV-246 is, there could be another variation of a Deacon.
Moon orbiting Calpurnos. No, because the right? Deacon doesn't spawn the Xenomorph.
No, what I'm saying is because technically a Deacon came out of an engineer, and yes, that engineer's there. So some I'm saying is on LV-246, there could be another variation of this alien on there. The difference is the face hugger that got on John Hurt, was the Xenomorph face hugger, the classic one we know of. I'm just saying by going by Prometheus's rules and the new rules set by Ridley Scott is technically whatever came out of the space jockey, A, might be dead, because years have gone by. Mm. But somehow, you know what? I just thought of something.
Okay, I'm waiting.
So David knows the technology that the space jockeys use, right?
Yeah.
The engineers. I wonder if he could use Covenant's scanners to track other locations that they have gone to. And he could drop an infect, like he could go there and put an egg in there in place and like have it kill everything, or he could kill everything. And then leave an egg in place. So next thing comes there, because he's just like the engineers, they're all about figuring out what this would evolve into. Mm-hmm. If he leaves that there for another alien race to stumble upon, obviously humans did, it would then do that same course of action.
Could. I'm going to submit a slightly different theory.
Go for it.
That would make more sense within the alien movie, is that the space jockey, the thing inside the jockey suit is human. Is not a space jockey, oh, which would be able to then spawn. So by the end of this, you could literally have them end up on another planet that has engineer spaceships. And in an attempt to escape, one of them dons the suits.
Gets in the thing, turns it on.
Turns on and speeds off. But, you know, through some other events, had been already
infected.
Chest burst. Crash lands on the nearest planet and doesn't realize that ship has David's eggs on it.
No, this thing, because just like really Scott even said in that thing I was talking about, when the form of it is, so Xenomorph, when that runs out of food and dies, it decomposes into an egg. So I wonder when it dies.
But there were a lot of eggs on that ship.
Yeah, yeah, what I'm saying is there could be mold, like it could be more than one on there. So when it dies, it decomposes into the egg that has the facehugger in it, like because it's an endless cycle, that's how it's designed. Then that's what gets a hold of John Hurt.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So it could be a chestburster comes out of it. It is a xenomorph.
It is, because it's from human.
Yep, it's from human. Murders human. Everything, like they do, until they run out of things to murder and eat, dies. And when they know they're dying, they probably go to a certain place, just like unfortunately, like a cat does.
It'd be an area that would be
sufficient for the egg to stay alive.
To save life, yes.
Which in that ship is obviously a place, because that ship is cavernous and has a spot for it, as we've seen at least twice. So you know, you could be right, yes.
Yeah.
Because we don't see a skeleton. Nope. We just see that there's in an area where a chest would be. And we're not that much smaller than the space jockeys. Physically. So if someone got in that seat that comes up through the thing, we saw the suit gets built around them in that spot. Because it's probably not a suit you can get up from. It's probably just something to hold you in place, just like if you were, you know, needed to be. Because he would have to, the pilot of the ship would have to be protected, just like the people in the pods were, and we saw in Prometheus, in Alien too, because we see the pods are there. It definitely could be a human being.
Yeah.
And it just the ship doesn't know any difference, and it seals him inside of it. And because we're smaller, we technically fit inside of it without dying and being chopped up in half.
Yeah.
Because if we were bigger, it would just it would form around us and break you. You could be right.
Yeah.
And it bursts out, is a xenomorph, then kills everything else, just like xenomorphs have. Because what people don't realize, and we don't, again, it hasn't been shown in the movies, but in the source material, a xenomorph can implant another xenomorph egg in somebody else. But it can also release a one of them, because as it evolves, like, I can't remember what species they said it was like. I think it was like frogs, where one of them will change sex and turn into a queen. So once there's so many of them, they'll selectively pick who is what. It will change and then morph into a queen. That's how a queen makes, by the way. That's why, say, those two ovums could be a king and a queen if they just decide what they want to do after they obviously spread their nests through all those many thousands of colonists. Mm-hmm. Then they can create eggs, which then wait for hosts to gestate into xenomorphs.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so that's spoiling Covenant for you and give some other shit.
Yeah.
And eventually I will be posting that picture that I've sent to several people. And I might as well post it on Friday when the show goes up. So you can see the stuff that we were reading off of about the three different... The picture I'm talking about is the one Joe's reading details off of for the three different variations that cinematically we have seen of this this alien, the what the black goo leads to, which is the Deacon, which is from Prometheus, the Neomorph, which is from Covenant, slash the Xenomorph, which is also from Covenant, as well as Alien, Aliens, and Alien 3, and, well, not Resurrection. No Resurrection has...
No, Alien 3 and everything...
Don't exist, I'm saying, but they were in Alien 3.
Part of the...
Yeah, not anymore, they're erased. Thank fucking God.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the Xenomorph, which is featured in Aliens, Alien, and the last half of Covenant... Those three alien types will be on that picture I will post on the Facebook page on Friday, along with this episode.
All right.
Boom. There's some other stuff to talk about, but we are an hour and a half in, so we might as well just quit now, because Mike will complain if we go over that.
Right.
He'll complain about this anyways, because he'll be like, we ain't talking for too long. People aren't going to listen. I don't care if they listen as long as they download. Just any numbers. I mean, comment on Facebook and shit too. But other than that, did you get anything else?
No, I think we're good.
I don't got nothing else. I mean, I have plenty else, but I'm not gonna say anything else. So that's it for this week's episode. Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
That's a mic. And I'm Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah.